Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. A few months ago, a bunch of you participated in a listener survey, and one of the topics y'all shared that you wanted to hear more about was singleness. So today I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend, Kate Worman. Kate is a dating coach, podcaster, and someone who loves to talk about dating and relationships, and she does it so well. She is someone who has chased after God, fought for her identity, and is now helping others to do the same. Today's conversation is so fun because I have no clue what dating looks like now. Y'all know I got married super young, so we talked just a little bit about that and how we can be good friends as married couples and as singles. And we talk about how we can bring each other into our lives and a reminder that it's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Community is the end game here, right? Like, to live in community is our goal. Marriage is not the goal. Singleness is not a plague. In every season, there is a reason, right? I'm so thankful for Kate, and I know that this conversation is going to help us all be better friends. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited. I'm sitting down with a sweet friend of mine, and we are going to be talking all about dating and singleness and stuff that I have no idea about, because Kate, I don't know if you know this, I got married at 18 and a half.
No way, Jeanette. So, holy Moses.
I don't know anything about dating except for my husband. So Kate Worman.
You still have to keep dating him, you know?
Yeah. We date for sure. But dating in like this world, I have no idea about. So Kate Worman, thank you for coming on and sitting and having coffee with me today.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Jeanette. And thanks to everyone who's listening. Hey, guys.
Yeah, grab your coffee and let's dive into this conversation because it's gonna be so, so good. So, okay, what's in your cup?
Okay, like actually in my cup?
Yeah.
Like in my coffee cup?
Yeah, what's in your cup?
Or like in my life? Okay, in my cup right now is actual coffee.
Good.
Here it is. And yeah, I drink a pour over. That is my favorite cup of coffee. Yep, black. That's it.
Black.
Yep.
That sounds good. A good coffee bean doesn't need anything.
Yeah, I go with the naked beans, okay? I grind them every morning. I do a whole thing. I have a bougie routine with my coffee. It's the Chemex, it's the filters, it's the perfect temperature of the hot water, and we have to have the perfect pour over every day. It's what I look forward to, though. I love it.
That's so fun. When you're out and about, what's your coffee order?
So it depends on the coffee shop.
Yeah.
If I'm going to Starbucks, I don't love Starbucks coffee, sorry to everybody, but
agreed.
I just graduated from that to like, I like the specialized coffee places with just like really good beans. And so, but I will get lattes and I like iced lattes for the most part. And since we are in fall right now, I do like the pumpkin spice, but I don't like things super sugary. So it's just a little bit of the pumpkin spice, you know?
Yeah.
So that's all. But actually, both of our mutual friends, Kelsey Chapman, got me really onto this, like an iced mocha at Starbucks. And you just have them put a very, very little bit of mocha. And I put, I think, iced coconut mocha. And it's really good.
Ooh,
so if I ever am like going to treat myself, if I'm like, I can do coffee that's a little sweet right now, that's what I'll do.
That's awesome. So my fall coffee is we have specialty huts and stuff that we love, but if I am going to Starbucks or running errands, it's a Americano. I don't like all the milk and stuff, but I'll do 2 pumps white chocolate and 2 pumps pumpkin.
Oh, and my gosh.
I know. It's really good, but it is like a treat. But you're a Disney fan like me, and if you order this at Disney, on any Disney property, it's called a Cinderella's Carriage.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's
That's so fun. Oh my gosh. Okay. Next time when Disney in California is finally open, maybe you'll have to try that.
Yeah. Well, I say this and it's not true at all, but as soon as it opens, I want to be there because I need a Disney fix so bad in my life. So bad.
Oh, man, girl, I feel you. I went to the gates this last weekend and sat in front of the gates, closed, reading, because that just made me happy. And I love going to Disney by myself.
Yes, I would do that
for
sure. But
I have a season pass, okay, yes. So I can do that, yeah.
That sounds very Disney princess-esque of you. Like, I'm just going to go sit and read.
By the gates. I'm so Belle. Yes.
So Belle. I love it. Well, next time I'm in California at Disney, we'll go together.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, Kate, I want to talk about like how you got into this world of like dating coach and speaking about dating and all of these different things, because it's not something that's talked a lot about within Christian circles. Dating is just kind of like the marriage is what the finish line, and that's just not true. Like in the church, we talk about dating and it's like, yeah, just date to get married and then you're married. Like, whew, yeah. Good thing. It's like, no. Like, that's so different. And
yeah,
it's funny because even talking to my kids about, like, their upcoming dating lives, which I just don't even want to talk about because I'm a 14-year-old like, and I'm not ready.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but we've talked to them about, like, hey, like, let's, like, you are more than welcome to, like, go on group hangouts and stuff like that. But, like, to put a label on a relationship so young, we're just not doing that, says the girl who got married and engaged in high school. I didn't get married in high school, but I got engaged in high school.
Oh my gosh.
Do as I say, not as I do. But yeah, so how did you get into this? Because I really don't even know.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't just one day wake up and think dating, I'm passionate about the topic of dating. So the reason why I got here, I'll tell you just some of my background of dating, because people who have a passion is because they're connected to it in some way. And for me with dating, it's because dating has been such a part of my story. So just a brief rundown. So 14 to 24, I was dating at the age of 14, for better or for worse. My parents, I did it. Okay. I was also a little bit boy crazy. I loved attention from men. And that goes into all my family of origin stuff and some just issues I had in my childhood where I like really sought out male attention. And so 14 to 24, I had tons of relationships, Jeanette. Like literally, I was not single at all for 10 years, pretty much. Like very, very rarely. I was like 1 week, maybe a month of singleness. The age of like 15 to 16, I had 16 boyfriends, like back to back, just okay, now you, it's your turn. Like just, I mean, quote unquote boyfriends, right? Let's just say that. But I was in a 5-year relationship. After that relationship, I jumped into a brief relationship that ended. Then literally a month later, met somebody else. And the last relationship in that 10-year stint ended up being a relationship that was super destructive. It was abusive in every way, physical, sexual, verbal, all the abusive. And so it was incredibly difficult for me. And it really brought down my entire worth and value. Yeah. If you can imagine, for 10 years, you're dating, constantly have men in your life. A lot of my identity came from relationships. Yeah. A lot of it of how I built my worthiness was if a guy likes me or if he'll pursue me or be with me, or, you know, that was where I got a lot of my validation. And so then I'm with this guy who is treating me terribly, to be honest. And it like threw so many wrenches in my whole process. I'm like, wait a second, this guy's supposed to just think I'm amazing. What's going on here? You know? And not only that, it was just so destructive to me and painful. So I stayed in that relationship for 2.5 years. The abuse cycle had really sucked me in. There was a lot of manipulation and gaslighting and a lot of hard things. And when I finally exited that relationship, whole other story, but it took a long time to really break free of the cycle for me. And I kind of had to look myself in the mirror and have a heart-to-heart with God being like, how did I get here? You know, and not in a way that was, I'm shaming myself, like it's all your fault, Kate, but rather like, hey, let's take ownership. How did you get here? And what are the patterns in your life that maybe need to change? And so I kind of had to face the fact that I had not been single for 10 years. And I did not know who Kate was outside of relationship. I only knew Kate that had a boyfriend, you know, or Kate who had a guy that's interested in her. I didn't know who Kate was without that at all. And I was killing it at work. Let me be honest to anybody listening. The people who go through bad relationships and abuse, they're not just the people that look really helpless. Like I was killing it in my career in New York. And meanwhile, behind closed doors being abused. And so this can truly happen to absolutely anyone. And on the surface, people would have thought I had my life totally together. was not the case for me. And I compartmentalize things. Like, I can thrive in work. My personal life, it's a tornado.
You know? Right, right.
So I really had to say, wow, who are you, Kate, without relationships? I went into a season of no relationships, no male relationships, even friendships. I had to cut out male friendships because I even found myself like getting validation just from having male friends, you know? And so I cut out male relationships. I went into a lot of healing and therapy, lots of therapy, and just really trying to figure out who is Kate outside of dating. And so that was some intentional singleness, if you will, for a few years until finally I was like ready to date again. I was like, I'm ready to go back into this. Like 3 years later, I was like, but I basically went from like, I'll date anybody to, oh, now I'm not, I have this whole laundry list of expectations and I made it so specific because if I'm being honest, I wanted to control it. You know, yeah. I was like, I am not going to let anybody hurt me that way again. So I put God into this very, very, very tiny, tiny, tiny hole and was like, the guy I'm going to date now has to have like 50 plus things. Right. And, in this process, I started researching and reading and getting every resource I possibly could on how to date well as a Christian. And what I realized was that there just weren't that many resources. Honestly, I was like, wait, no wonder I didn't do it right. No, not kidding. But I mean, just kidding. But like, there just weren't that many things out there. And if you had a pastor that would talk about it, maybe it was like once a year, you know? And so I would scrounge up like every different podcast or sermon I could find just to find that one that a pastor that I really liked spoke on, you know, this year, or maybe 5 years ago. And I just tried to soak in as much as I could. But, you know, I started dating again. It was very nuanced. We can go into that. But it was after I got heartbroken a few years after that. I thought I was going to marry this guy. And I was in a season of just healing from that heartbreak. Thankfully, doing it with a lot more wholeness already because I had worked through so much before dating this guy. But I started feeling God put on my heart, hey, Kate, I want you to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why would I do that? Like, I've never interviewed anybody. I don't know anything about this. Like, at the time I worked in fashion. It just didn't seem like something that I should do. But as I pressed in more and more, I felt it so strongly to start a podcast. And I felt when I asked and prayed about it, I felt like God was like, you're going to start a podcast on dating. And honestly, Jeanette, I was in shock. I was like, wait, what? Why dating? You know? And when I pressed into that, I felt so unqualified as a single person because I hadn't figured it out. You know, right. I was like, I'm still going through it. Why would I start this podcast? And I really,
because you're not across that finish line, right? Like, we think we can't, we don't have room to talk about something until we cross the finish line.
Exactly. We think that, oh, the only people who know are the people who have done it. But to be honest, yes, we should glean wisdom for people who are older and wiser. However, to your point, you don't know exactly what dating is like today, Jeanette, because you got married when you were 18. So while you can provide wisdom about relationships, there's probably not as much wisdom you can provide specifically on like the process of dating today in 2020, right? And that's not bad. It's just kind of the way it is. And so what God showed me is like, I think it's so special. Your journey of your entire journey of figuring out who you are and who I've called you to be has related to the process of relationships and you finding healing and reconciliation with your past. And so he was like, I want you to share all those learnings with other people. And I want it to be something that people feel like you're coming alongside of them, that they really feel like, okay, it's not just this person who's been married for 20 years, who's never been on a dating app. No, it's somebody who literally is walking through these and sitting in, as I say on the podcast, these murky waters, like literally paddling alongside of them, like, hey, we're in this together. And I think that's why God led me to start this podcast. And so I started it, The Heart of Dating, without an intention of it being a full-time thing. I just thought this is a fun passion. We'll see what happens. God totally had different plans, you know? So now it is absolutely my full-time thing. I am a dating coach. People would say I'm a dating expert, which is so surreal, but I love talking about relationships. And I've owned the fact that, yeah, I'm still not married and I'm still in the process. I would never claim to say that I know exactly how to do everything perfectly, nor do I do everything perfectly. But I've learned so much on my journey that I love to share with other people. So that's where we're at today.
I love that. And so like, as you're saying, like, it took me a while to figure out who I was and I had to step back and like learn who I was. I want want to know, like, what was the most important thing, or what was, like, the thing that God showed you the most of, like, this is who you are and this is who I've called you to be?
So, you know, a lot of that had to do with reckoning the things that I didn't like about myself that I tried to keep hidden, you know? And so as a young person, I was really expressive. And in some ways, I was a little dramatic, okay? And I would throw fits and temper tantrums and all that stuff. And over the years, I got quieter. But one of the things that God showed me was like, actually, I love your expressiveness. And actually, it's so great that you have extreme joy. Like, I want you to own your extreme joy. And I think it's totally amazing that you feel a lot of feelings. And so what I learned through that process, though, it's so okay to have high emotions and low emotions, just knowing how to regulate all of that and being in control of my thoughts instead of my thoughts being in control of me, you know? And so there were different things that I had to learn to love about myself. Another thing for me was just stripping down how I saw myself, my body image, the insecurities I felt about my face and my body. And, you know, I worked in fashion, so I it was like something I could control, how I look. My hair would be perfect. My lipstick would be perfect. My outfit would be on point. And I just was like, I wanted to perfectly curate this image that was like, yes, I have it all together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so much so that I was afraid of people seeing me without makeup. I was afraid if somebody saw me when I was feeling bloated, to the point of I wouldn't even go out of my house if I felt like I was too inflamed, because I didn't want photos to be taken of me, because that wasn't a good representation of the image I wanted to put out there.
Yeah.
So I had to reconcile, you know, truly coming back to basically Psalm 137, that which I feel is like a little bit of a, like a love letter, and that connects just how God formed us so uniquely, perfectly, and wonderfully, and that he knows everything that's to come for us. He hems us in behind and before. He knows every single part of our story, and we don't have to compare ourselves to everybody else because he created us uniquely and perfectly. And what we have is so unique and perfect to offer this world. And that is a daily journey, but in that process, in those few years, and I'm not going to say it was just in those 3 years, this has been still a learning and a breaking down of the layers, to be honest, Jeanette, because in the past few years, I've had to really strip down, like, oh, why do I wear so much makeup? And now you can see me here, I'm not even wearing any makeup. And, you know, it's a different, but that took a long time. I'm so proud of that, because it took a lot of accepting myself for who I am, you know, and accepting the things that I thought that other people wanted me to, or taking away just being the things I thought other people wanted me to be, and accepting the wholeness of who I am, and even the things that I thought people didn't want me to be, like really expressive, and owning those things again. And so, I think that process really takes a lot of introspection. I had a lot of guidance, basically through spiritual mentors and therapy, to be able to kind of work through, to help, they helped me reflect back like the things that I was saying and what it sounded like, and then what I really wanted to know and learn about myself, instead of believing those lies that I was believing. So, yeah.
Man, I just think that's so beautiful. And I know that as I, because I think you're just a few years younger than me, but as I like neared my 30s, I had been a wife for already so long, and I had been a mom already for so long, and there was just this kind of like, it was like at the beginning of like the women's self-helpy, like, we're gonna go set the world on fire, like it just felt like this resurgence of women's self-help. And I remember being reading a book and kind of like getting that empowerment and being like, oh I'm allowed to dream, I'm allowed to like seek something different for myself, or not outside of my marriage or outside of my family or anything, but like I'm allowed to do something for myself in this space. And but wrestling with it, but you created me to be this way, and I'm too emotional, or I have too many feelings, and I'm too you know, like I'm too timid, or too, you know, just kind of like, I'm not a leader, I'm just Jeanette. And I remember like having that moment of like, because I would pray, like, just make me the woman you want me to be, like, change me and make me, like, really, God, just shape me. And I remember, like, having a moment in the mirror and being like, oh, you actually made me this way. Mm-hmm. Like, you made me to want to dream. You made me to be emotional. You like these things about me. Do I need refinement? Absolutely. I will never measure fully up, but... Mm. God created me to be me. Yes. He didn't create me to be anybody else. He's like, I actually like
I made you perfectly the way I want you because like that's what I do. So could you just like live into who I made you to be? And it's like, oh,
Yes.
okay. And it's amazing what
Yes.
relationships do to us. And not that I had any like terrible relationships speaking into those things, but relationships change us and mold us, and sometimes they quiet us and sometimes they empower us. But all in all, it comes down to believing that God didn't make a mistake when he made us. He
Yeah.
made us fully who he wants us to be. So I love that you kind of walked through that journey on your own, or not on
Yeah.
your own, but with your people, learning
Yeah.
like, no, like, shed the makeup, shed the fashion. I'm still exactly who God made me to be.
Yeah, shed the relationships without
Yes.
the men. That's the biggest one. I'm like, well, let's
Yes.
take that away. And who are you without that, right? And the
Yes.
last thing I will say that God really has been showing me over the years, because if you told me 5 years ago that I would be sharing my story about dating publicly, I would have laughed in your face. Like, I mean, literally, like, that is never going to happen. Like, over my dead body kind of thing. You know,
Yeah.
like, I'm an Enneagram 3. The worst fear of the Enneagram 3 is that is A, what people think about you, and B, that you're going to be a failure and perceived as a failure publicly. And so I was like, oh, my mistakes or my failed relationships and all these things, that is going to be perceived so terribly. I had such a warped view of vulnerability and, you know, learning Brené Brown and all that her work as a researcher about vulnerability has actually so helped me. Like, she is my girl in my new book next February. I think my editor pinged me because she's like, I think you talk about Brené Brown too many times. Like, we gotta, like, and I was like, but she is my lady. Like, I love her. But, you know, like, it empowered me so much that the stories, the mistakes we've made aren't to be hidden or to be ashamed of. Like, it really is how we see them, heal from them, become whole and process through them that makes us even stronger. It brings us
Yeah.
even closer to God. It brings us into another layer of who we are. And so I had to really be okay with owning the things that happened to me in the past. And that owning part takes a long time, you
Yeah.
know? And I don't recommend that anybody listening that has deep, dark things like abuse or things that you've been through, just like go ahead and share that with the masses. I really
Right.
don't. I
Right.
think that that's something to be processed with people. And eventually, potentially, you are going to share it with more people. But, you know, start with sharing what with one person. Those things that you're afraid to share or those things that you think mark you in a bad way, you need to be able to talk about those things and process those things. I was so afraid to do that. I was like, no. That was my old self. This is my new self. We don't
Yeah.
talk about that, Kate. We only talk about this Kate now, you know?
Yeah.
But all of it is a part of me. It doesn't have to be bad, right?
Right. Well, I think it goes back to the scripture of like our weaknesses are made perfect in Christ. Like, and
Yes, there you
because you
go.
lived those
Exactly.
things, your weakness is now used for power, and it's used to guide other people. And I can only imagine how many people you have guided out of bad relationships, or how many people you have been like have thought ahead, or they've thought ahead and been like, ugh, I want to listen to Kate's wisdom here. That even in your episodes, you are sharing wisdom for every generation. I can listen to your podcast and know how to guide and help my friends more. I can listen to it and be like, oh man, like I didn't know this growing, like not growing up. I mean, I am a grown up.
But yeah, I mean, we don't know these things. And that's why my heart is to that this doesn't just touch people who are 20 and over, that this does touch younger people too. I mean, I wish I had a resource like Heart of Dating when I was like 15, you know, and going through all these relationships and having all these boyfriends and thinking that I needed these things and like basically giving myself away to all these people. I wish I knew that what that was doing on my heart and my soul. And it wasn't that my parents were bad parents. It wasn't that I didn't have good influences like the church. I just needed more. This is not talked about specifically very often. And it needs to be, you know, even from earlier ages. Because a lot of my trauma happened between like trauma with men happened between 14 and 24. Those are earlier years, you know?
Oh, and they're formative years. Like, that's like, I look at my 14-year-old and I think, oh my gosh, like, oh my gosh, like, we're nearing this so quickly.
I won't
And
tell you what I was doing at 14 because I don't want you to be paranoid. No, I'm
I
just
know what
kidding.
I was doing at 14. I know what my husband was doing at 14.
Yeah.
Like, this is like,
There you
there's a
go.
reason we got married young.
Oh my gosh,
So it's just crazy to think about, like, one, he's only 4 years away from what I was when I got married. And two, there's so much going on there.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Remember in sex ed when we learned to prevent pregnancy at all costs? And we have all the tools to prevent pregnancy, but when it comes to planning ahead for it, it can be a mystery. Well, now it's time for fertility education. That's why Modern Fertility was created. It's the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple prick of a finger. Then you mail it in with a prepaid label and get your personalized results within 10 days. Traditional testing with your doctor can cost over thousands of dollars, but Modern Fertility only costs $159 to get the same information. And if you go to modernfertility.com/coffee, you can get $20 off your test. That means your test will only cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office. It's time for fertility education. modernfertility.com/coffee for $20 off your test now. One thing I told you I want to talk about was I've been talking a lot about friendship. It's what I talk about. And one of the girls on my Instagram said one of the biggest pain points that she has in friendship is how her married friends handle single friends. And I will tell you right now, I don't have single friends. And I have single friends online.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot of single friends in my life. And I think that that's a problem. I think, you know, we've talked about as a network, because we're on the same network. We've talked about as a network, when we look around and everybody looks the same as us. And that's an issue. Or we've talked about when everybody believes the same as us. Or, like, you just become kind of vanilla.
For lack of a better word. Totally.
And so when I saw that question, I thought, oh, that's really good. And I thought, oh, shoot, I don't know how to address this because I'm not walking it. So tell me, how can we be better friends? How can married friends, like single to married, how can we be better in this?
Yeah, I think that's such a good question to ask because there's two sides. There's a responsibility for the married people. There's a response people for the single people. So let's talk about that. So for married people, you know, the honest to goodness truth is, I get it. You get like, I haven't been married, but I've been in relationships where you're with that person a lot. And it makes sense that you gravitate toward other couples because it's fun to do couple activities where you don't feel like we can be together and sweet and affectionate and they're together and sweet and affectionate. And we could talk about relationships and we're all in a relationship, you know? And so that makes sense that like you gravitate towards that. So when I've been in serious relationships, I've had to make an extra effort to not just hang out with couple friends because then you become like a couple's crew. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I get, and I totally see how that can happen, especially when you're married and then have kids. And then there's that factor too. So then you're not only married and husband and wife, but now you have kids. So then you have your friends with other couples that also have kids. And that absolutely makes sense based on the stage of life. But I will just say this, like, I do believe that it is so powerful for married people to be able to disciple single people. Yeah. And I don't think that every married person has to disciple tons and tons of single people. But I do think we have a call for single people. The married people should have a call to disciple some single people. I really believe it. And whether it's just a handful or whether it's just one, you know, and I want to press that onto married people's hearts, because I think there's so much that a single person can learn just by observing and by asking questions and being around a husband and wife or being around a family.
Yeah.
You know, the statistics are that single people are now single to the average age of around 28, let's say. And that's even larger and higher in big cities where I live in LA. Before this, I lived in New York. The age is even higher, right?
Yeah.
So it's just the average age. And so, you know, you're single for a long time. You get really good at taking care of yourself and knowing what it's like to do life with just you, yourself, and you know, it's just me, myself, and I, and I can do that. I can do the laundry for myself. I can make the meal for myself. I can take my own, I can go to Starbucks whenever I want, right? I can do whatever I want. I could go on a weekend away because I just want to. It's so good though for singles to know what that's going to look like, get a picture into what that's going to look like, especially as we become older, so we can get a realistic sense of the sacrifice that marriage requires. Mm-hmm. So even, you know, I think it's great if singles see a married couple fight and work through the conflict. You know, I think that's amazing, because then you're not as scared when you come across conflict as a single person, like, oh, this is a relationship deal breaker. Right. Oh my gosh, like, we're fighting and we're dating. Oh, this has got to end. No, conflict doesn't mean it ends. It just means, hey, what are the gaps in communication that you need to seek to understand better? Where are you missing this person? Where are you? What is your need? What is their need? How do we figure that out? I mean, this is a journey, right? And so if single people could experience that more from married couples, I think it'd be such a gift. I think it'd be so helpful. I think we'd be more prepared, and we would have more of a realistic picture of what that may look like, you know? And so I think married people should seek out discipleship of just a handful of single people. And that looks like inviting them over to dinners, or, hey, yeah, we have this, like, a kid's soccer game. Like, hey, do you want to just come for fun? Like, you know, and I would say that you bring it up to them in a way that, like, hey, would you ever be interested to just spend time around us as a family? Like, we'd love to kind of disciple you as a married couple. You're a single person. Does that interest you? You know, and just to spend time with us so we can walk alongside of you. Then I will say, for the single people, the single person who wrote into you being like, hey, I feel really left out, right? Yeah. We have a responsibility as single people to not just sit here either. Like, we have to let our married friends know, like, I want to come to dinner with you and your kids. I don't care if your house is crazy dirty and there's laundry everywhere and toys everywhere. Like, I want to be in that. Like, would I be able to be a part of that journey? Because I want to learn from you guys, whether or not it's formalized and every week we sit down, and whether I'm just spending time and with you guys and seeing what that looks like. And the single people, for them listening as well, like, you have to be able to separate your own feelings in that moment of saying, oh, they have something that I don't, you know, because a lot of times I think singles don't do that because they're like, oh, spending time around couples makes me sad. But I just want to flip that and say, this can bring you so much hope by seeing how a couple interacts, and it can be such a beautiful example. So you need to have healthy models of relationship in your life that you are actually witnessing, not just like that couple across the country that you know has a good marriage. Like, you need to be witnessing it. You want to add those tools to your tool belt. So if you're a single person, lonely, and you have lots of married friends, tell them you want to be involved. Tell them if they go on a couple's trip, you want to go on a couple's trip with them, and that you're okay with that. You know, nobody knows what they don't know. So your married friends maybe aren't thinking about it. So you just have to open the dialogue with them.
Yeah. And I think as a married person, my concern would be like, well, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. Like, is it weird for you to hang out, or are you thinking it's just a pity invite or anything? But I think across the board, one of the things, like, as a friendship, we have to drop these, like, preconceived ideas. We have to communicate. We have to have the determine the relationship conversations with our friends too. Like, hey, I'm going to invite you to this, and I want you to be comfortable coming and doing Halloween with us. I want you to come over and let's play games after Thanksgiving. Like bringing them into, like, that family situation is such a beautiful thing. And I think that's just exactly, I think you hit the nail on the head, where it's just like, yeah, just do it. But also, like, have that conversation. This, like, hey, it might be uncomfortable the first couple times, and you might feel sad, but if you're feeling sad, like, why don't you just let us know, and we can talk about it? Like, we can do that. And so, I think it's really cool, and it's a really, I know that when we have had single friends who have done that with us, we just don't have anyone right now. It's been really special, and then it's been special to see them get married and become parents and change that, like, see life changes, like, life season changes. And
life seasons do change. That's natural. We just have to prioritize the things that are important to us, though. Yep. My biggest thing is when we sit there being like, oh, why, like, you know, this doesn't, they got with somebody and now they're forget about me.
Right.
Okay. Like, I get that hurts, but don't sit there and complain about it if you're not going to do something about it. Yeah. Have a conversation with the person. Yeah. If you've had multiple conversations and they aren't doing anything about it, then we can readdress this. You know what I mean? And that does hurt. And so, and that does require grieving. One more element, though. If you are a single person, lots of your friends have gotten married or are getting married, here's my thing. Don't drop your married friends. Don't do it. But you also need to get single friends. Like, it's so important to also make sure that you also are in communities. That's why I do love the Heart of Dating community, because everybody there is pretty much single and or dating. And so there's, even if it's not in your exact city, you can make tons of virtual friends in our community where people get what it's like. They, I mean, we have people in our private Facebook group have They have game nights every week. They have worship nights. They do Bible studies. They're going through the conference content that we hosted in July together. So, you know, and you can meet people. Make sure you still have singles in your life. And don't let go of your married friends, but make sure you still get single people to come alongside of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to talk really quickly about what the church makes dating kind of look like and just kind of your perception on that. From what I can tell growing up in the church, it was like a, you can go to college and get married. Like, that's what you're going to do with your life. But tell me, how has the narrative changed within church? Because I don't pay attention to that. And two, how can we help flip that narrative if it hasn't changed?
So the narrative for me at age 16 was very much I kiss dating goodbye. You can only date in groups. And if you date, you have to basically do premarital counseling. And basically, you're going
to
marry this person.
I have to tell you, really quick, I have a funny story. I remember liking a boy. I liked him. He was a nice guy. I remember, and my cousin will totally vouch for me, I remember calling her crying because I was afraid that if I liked him, I was going to have to marry him. And I didn't want to marry him. I just liked him.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Right?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No, and that's totally not okay. Like, it really is not. We don't have to date in groups like that. You don't have to like a person. I mean, let's be honest. We are still working through the pressures that we've put on dating from that time period because people still have in their head. Those people are now in their 30s for the most part, the I kiss dating goodbye people. Yeah. And those people are the single people that are from that era are still struggling, saying, oh my gosh, like on a first date, I have to know if this person is my person, or I put so much pressure on it. And honestly, that suffocates the whole process of dating. Yeah. And so I do think, though, in church, the mistake that I see a lot of the church making is that we put so much emphasis on marriage as the finish line. And therefore, as Christians, I think we have a really big issue with idolizing marriage as like, okay, if I'm like the perfect Christian girl, if I read my Bible every day, if I serve at church every weekend, if I do all these things for God, then I will have a husband. I will find a husband, right? It's like this performative thing because that is the goal. Marriage is the goal. And I just think that's so sad. It really does idolize marriage in such a way that when it doesn't happen for us, when we are still single into our 30s and we've been working at that quote unquote performative, perfect Christian girl thing for like 10 plus years, we start questioning, oh my gosh, like, is God even good to me at all? And not only that, we miss out on so much that God wants to do in our current season of just being a beautiful, amazing, powerful woman that's working for the kingdom, using the gifts and talents that he has given you. And so I think that the reason we also put so much pressure, not the reason, but another way we put so much pressure on marriage is we normally talk a lot about marriage and kids in the church. You know, we have marriage ministries and we have kids ministries, and we rarely have singles ministries or, you know, a place for singles to just talk about what it's like to date and what it's like to just be a single person. So I like to encourage pastors and just individuals like, hey, let's celebrate that engagement. Let's celebrate the baby shower. Let's celebrate the wedding. And let's celebrate when your single person started a business or started a new job. And we need to start celebrating all those things because that's still beautiful and wonderful and epic for the kingdom, right? So I think we could do so much of a better job of taking marriage off that pedestal. Also, last thing on this, as a leader, this has been really tough, but there is kind of the stigma that you are better together and you are only going to be able to do really epic things when you have somebody else. Like, you cannot do something epic for God as a single person. And that's just point blank false, right? Like, Paul did amazing things and he was never married. Jesus did amazing things. He was never married.
Absolutely. Well, and it's like when that saying is better together, that's in community. I mean, and I will say, like, I'll be the first one to say, like, man, my husband is amazing and he is a great cheerleader and he is a great man of God. He's a good leader. Yeah. And I just love him to death. Like, and I've loved him for almost half my life, but he doesn't complete me. Yeah. Like, I don't find my worth in my marriage. I find Jesus in my marriage, but like, I need Jesus first and foremost. And so it's one of those things where it's like, there's also that battle of like, no, husbands aren't great. We don't want husbands. Like, no, no, no.
Oh,
like, I really love him. He's amazing. But I need Jesus first. And so yeah. I think that there's that, yeah, you're right. There's that stigma of like, I have to be married first, or I have to like, I have to be married.
I have to be married first, and then I can start this thing, or yeah. then I can fulfill my goal of being X, or then I could finally travel to this place. Like, we put so much yeah. as singles, especially see women doing this, on the coattails of marriage. We're like, then my life begins, you know, but that's so not true, because then when you get into marriage, then you're just looking for, then everyone's pressuring you to have kids. So it's like, I'm married, but now your life will be even better once you have kids. You'll be even more worthy for God once you have kids and start building a family. And it's like, there's always going to be something else. But I do think there's this really big pressure in ways from the church, intentionally or not, that it's like, marriage is the thing to look to yeah. focus on. You know what I mean? Yeah. And well, yeah.
Yeah. And I got just a backstage seat to your conference, and it was just amazing to see. And it was cool to see the speakers you had come in. Some of them I follow closely, like Tara Lee Cobble, who's like, hey, yes. this is my life, and I am flourishing single. And I yeah. love that Stephanie Mae Wilson, who's now pregnant and expecting babies, yes. talks about her singleness as like this, like, hey, what if we don't pine for a marriage, and what if we live our single life the best way possible? And I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, how great. Right? Like, how amazing. Oh,
and so good. And you know, the reality is, just because we're the perfect Christian girl doesn't mean that God's automatically going to deliver us anything. He's not a genie in a bottle. Absolutely. It doesn't work that way. We are here for him, you know? Yeah. So even if he says no and he continues to say no, like, that still could be a beautiful thing for you. And yeah. I know that's really hard for a lot of people to hear yeah. because it's not that your desire does not matter to God. It does. But it's just to say that where he has you at right now is exactly where he wants you to be. Yep. So, you know, if you're not married yet, you are still important to him. He still has great plans for you. And you are still valuable in the kingdom as you yep. are with or without a husband. You yeah. know what I mean? And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just love that. Like, we had talked earlier, the podcast is kind of like centered around that verse in Ecclesiastes. Like, there's a time for everything under the sun. Yes. And being married this long, I want to shake people and be like, do something different first. Like, right. go travel, go do all this stuff. I always joke with Jesse that I would have been we got married super young, and it was great. Obviously, everything's worked out. But I always say, like, man, I would have been a great sorority sister. I'm just saying. Like,
yeah.
I would have been awesome in college. And he's like, I don't know that that's true, Jeanette.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious.
He's like, you might have gone a little wild. But I'm like, do something. Like, go. Because I can tell you from experience. And I mean, we were young, so we were just like fighting to pay bills. But like, life changes. And we know that. There's a time for everything under the sun. Life changes quickly. But enjoy the season that you're in now. Like, enjoy this moment, because tomorrow it might look very different. I think we could see that so clearly this year, especially. One day yeah. we were totally fine and everything was open. The next day the world shut down.
We're like, oh, poor Italy. That sucks for them. Yeah. All's good here. And then suddenly, like, wait a second. Wait, it's happening here? Yeah. What are we talking about? Yeah. Like, what?
Like, we're not allowed to go.
The first time I saw someone wear a mask at a grocery store, I was like, that's weird. And now, like, that's all we have to do. I know.
And now it's like common. It's so crazy. Yeah.
Now it's like, you don't wear a mask. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't be in the store.
I know. I had a friend talk about, like, she's like, 2020 will be like known as the year that I tell my kids I'd walk up to a building and like pause and like read all the signs. Like, yeah. do I have to, like, I mean, we're in Texas, so you have to wear a mask all the time. Yeah. But it's like, do I have to wear a mask in the store? What am I supposed to do? Do I walk around with my hands up? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, seriously, like, what's going on? Yeah.
So crazy. Kate, what is something you've been obsessed with lately? Read, watched, heard? What's an obsession that you've had?
Man. Okay. So I'm reading a book that I am definitely obsessed with. Probably a lot of people have read it. If not, you have to get it immediately. It's Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro. The best book, like, okay. literally. It is so good. It is life-changing. I think every Christian needs it. It talks about the balance of how to have a really healthy spiritual life, contemplative spirituality with God and communion with God, but also how to have an emotionally healthy life, which is really taking care of yourself and yeah. understanding yourself and not doing what I said earlier, which was like, that's Pat's Kate and this is today Kate, you know, yeah. but like embracing and coming to terms and holding all of it together. And so how do we be emotionally healthy in our spirituality? It is changing my life. I love it. I think every person needs to read it, and especially single people. Let's start doing this stuff right now. Come on, y'all.
Absolutely.
Disney Plus. I love Disney Plus, and so grateful that that came out like late last year, because I love it, girl.
Oh my gosh. We signed up as early as you could. I was like, I'll like take my money. Disney.
Yeah, take it. I'm like, I have a hard day, or the news is too much, or all the chaos, and I'm like, Disney movie, Beauty and the Beast, right now, please.
So one thing you need to watch on Disney Plus, which has been like, it's been so good, and I'll probably rewatch it. The Making of Frozen 2.
Oh, I never watched that.
Oh my gosh, it's a documentary. It's so good. It's like 6 episodes.
Okay.
And it just goes behind the scenes of like the making of Frozen. When people use their gifts and create art, or create, in my lack of a better word, Disney loving self, when they create magic, like listening to an orchestra, watching an orchestra use their gifts to bring into the unknown to life.
Yeah.
I just find myself sobbing and worshiping and just like so humbled and in awe of art.
I love that. Oh my gosh. So. Yep. I'll have to watch Frozen 2. Frozen, The Making of Frozen.
One. Making of Frozen 2. It's
Making of Frozen 2. Okay. I love Frozen 2. Oh my gosh. So I love both of them, but it's, yes. Okay. That's on the list.
Yeah.
Yes,
add it to your list. It's so good. Okay. What is it like? What is it time for in your life right now? It's time for coffee right now. What is it time for?
So I'm in a season of, I just hired our first employee full time, Gabriella, shout out.
She's a doll.
She's amazing. So we are in a time of major growing and preparing for the book launch in February 16th, 2021. But right now it's a time for me to really prioritize my emotional and spiritual health. I know that I cannot run this thing that I'm so passionate about, that I love, Heart of Dating, without really being truly from the inside out healthy and prioritizing my time. So right now I'm actually talking to you, Jeanette, from not LA. I am in Los Olivos. I am on a workation right now, and we are in the middle of, we're up on a hill in vineyards overlooking this beautiful countryside. And me and a few friends are up here just working, because we're like, we needed a change of scenery. I need something for my soul. And it's so beautiful. And so this last weekend, I took a full day off of everything and went to Disneyland, sat at the gates and just read. And I went and bought a plant, because I was like, I love plants. And I read by the ocean and watched the sunset. And I just really, right now is a time for, yes, everything is going full speed ahead, but it's especially important for me amidst all the things, the growth of our business and the chaos of our country, to really have that time of communion with God and special, specific disciplines, because I don't think I could get through the days without it, especially with all the things that are, all the noise happening right now, you know? So that's what it's time for me.
Well, I love that. And I think that I was just listening to a podcast where she was talking all about disciplines, and I have, I feel the need for that so, so much right now. So I love that you're doing that. I had a counseling appointment this morning, which was just so great, where it's just like, this is all really hard. This has been a really hard year, but there's also, like I told you earlier, there's like some calls to something exciting. So it's like, it's time to move forward. And this has been like the last 3 months have been a time for change in my life. As you know, joining into the network and working on the network. And so it's just been a really cool season. And so I can see too, and my kids are going back to school. So it's very much like,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Season, like, there needs to be some discipline here, otherwise it's a free for all. So
yes, 100%.
Okay, Kate, tell us the name of your book, and then when we can get it and when we can pre-order it, if you know, and then tell us where we can find you and listen to the Heart of Dating.
So the book is called Thank You for Rejecting Me. So it's, the subtitle is Transform Pain into Purpose and Learn to Fight for Yourself. And basically, this is the book that you need to have before you date, you know, like, it's really the book to reconcile with all the past pain that you have, the rejections in your life, because rejection will still come. If you put yourself out there again and dating, you may be rejected. The good chances that you will. It's rare that you put yourself out there once and that happens, you know, and it's like, that's the person, or you put yourself out out there with a job and immediately you get it. It just doesn't really happen like that. We get a lot of no's before we get yeses, and we have to learn how to properly reconcile with them, especially some of the bigger ones, some of the ones that have marked us in the past, you know? And so this book is about 11 major rejections that we deal with, some of the major ones. We go really deep into those, and but with a victory that says, like, hey, these rejections have made me who I am today, and I've been able to reconcile with them, so much so that there is a strength within me that I now understand, and I'm not afraid that rejection is still going to come my way, but it can prick me and not take me down entirely. It's not going to take away my whole identity or make me question myself the same way as it did in the past, right? So we're more prepared for the ones that may happen in the future and the storms that may come. I truly believe that we can't have a healthy relationship without also having healthy relationship with God and with ourselves. And so that's what I really hope to inspire in this book. It's mixed with my deepest, hardest stories that I, some that I've never, ever shared. And it's really, really hard. This book was so emotional for me to write because it was like going to places that were hard for me to go to. Rejection is not a topic that a lot of people want to talk about. So that comes out February 16th, 2021, right around Valentine's Day. So if you're feeling the weight of it next year, this will be exactly what you need. But yeah, actually, you can pre-order it right now. So people can find it on Amazon. Yeah, it's so crazy. So search Thank You for Rejecting Me.
I love it. Okay, well, I'm going to go pre-order it, and I'm going to make sure that everybody else pre-orders it because it's so exciting, and it's so that matters. We need to like tell people pre-ordering really does matter. So
yes, go pre-order it. Does matter. Oh my goodness, so I'm learning so much.
So go pre-order it, and then I think it would be even great for moms to read, like me, who are going to have kids that are rejected at some point.
Well, and this isn't just about dating. The book isn't just about like dating rejections. Like we talk about the ways we self-reject, which plenty of people do, the through our bodies and insecurities, through the things that we don't like about ourselves, our own self-hatred, inner self-hatred. We sometimes reject ourselves before other people can even reject us, you know, and we need to also learn how to conquer those things. And this book goes into, heartbreak, abandonment, all that. But a lot of these things can also apply to things external to just dating, you know. So you may be betrayed by somebody that's not maybe a man, but maybe it's a friend or a church leader or something like that. Yeah. You may apply for something, work really hard for it, and still get a no. You know what I mean? So this book really is for any person who's ever struggled with rejection of any kind.
Well, I love it. I can't wait to get my hands on it. It's going to be so good. Just because I know that you put your heart into everything. So I'm so excited for you, friend.
Thanks, Jeanette.
All right, Kate, thanks for hanging out. This has been so much fun, and I just can't wait to share our conversation with everyone.
Yay, girl, thanks so much, and blessings to your whole audience. This was so fun today. Love you.
Love you.
Hey, Hannah Gronowski here, proud member of the Converge Podcast Network. Hey, I wanted to let you know that I have a brand new book coming out on September 15th called Generation Distinct, Discover the Wrong You Were Born to Make Right. This book is available at generationdistinct.com/book on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. This book is for you. The wild, the risky, the rebels.
How can you be inviting people in? That was my biggest takeaway from today's episode. How can I be inviting more single friends into my life? That is my goal. So I'm going to work on that this week. Hey, I want to ask you, have you had a chance to order your copy of It's Time for Jesus? What is It's Time for Jesus, you might be asking? It's Time for Jesus is my 30-day devotional. It is all about finding who you are, right where you are, right as God said you were, something we talked a little bit about today. Go grab it. It's on Amazon. It's Time for Jesus by me, Jeanette Tapley. I think you'll love it. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.